जय राधा माधवा गुंज बिहारी, जयो राधा माधवा गुंज बिहारी, जयो गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवरदारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधवा गुंज बिहारी,
गंत्रा श्रीमद् भागवतम की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपगदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं सर्वेतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं। श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त श्रीराधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे श्रीवृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुदे देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा। सो वी लाइक टू वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज फॉर द मॉर्निंग भागवतम क्लास। सो वी आर कवरिंग टू टेक्स्ट टुडे from the fourth canto, seventh chapter, text 48 and 49. 49 will have a purport, therefore it's on the board. I will read 48 first. Maitreya uvacha iti dakshah kavir yagyam badra rudrabhi marshitam kirtyamane hrishikeshe sanninye yagya bhavane. Sri Maitreya said, after Lord Vishnu was glorified by all present, Daksha, his consciousness purified, arranged to begin again the yagya, which had been devastated by the followers of Lord Shiva. Then we'll come to today's text.
Bhagavan Svena Bhagena Sarvatma Sarvabhaga Bhuk Daksham Bhabhasha Abhasha Priyamana Ivanaga Bhagavan Svena Bhagena Sarvatma Sarvabhaga Bhuk Daksham Bhabhasha Abhasha Priyamana Ivanaga Bhagavan Svena Bhagena Sarvatma Sarvabhaga Bhuk Daksham Bhabhasha Abhasha Priyamana Ivanaga
Mataji's. Word-to-word translation, Bhagavan, Lord Vishnu, Svena, with his own, Bhagena, with the share, Sarva Atma, the super soul of all living entities, Sarva Bhagabhuk, the enjoyer of all the results of all sacrifices. Daksham, Daksha, Babhashe, said, Abhasha, addressing, Priyamanah, being satisfied, Eva, as, Anaga, O sinless Vidura. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, Maitreya continued, my dear sinless Vidura, Lord Vishnu is actually the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices, yet because of his being the supersoul of all living entities, he was satisfied simply with his share of the sacrificial offerings. He therefore addressed Daksha in a pleasing attitude. Hare Krishna. So firstly, I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees. Today is a very auspicious day. It is also the disappearance day of His Grace Jayanand Thakur, and tomorrow is being Narasimha Chaturdasi. So I feel myself like a cook. You know, sometimes when you have different sabjis, when you have cauliflower, you have beans, you have carrot, you have an option. You can make mixed veg, you can put it together. Or, to make your life a bit more interesting, if you're cooking for yourself, you can make two sabjis. You can make just cauliflower sabji and then beans and carrot. Okay? For those who haven't had breakfast, I'm sorry. So I was thinking, now I have three things in my plate. I have today's verse to do justice to. I have the disappearance of Jayanand Thakur and Narasimha Chaturdasi tomorrow. So do I make one item or do I make three items? I was contemplating on this. so, or at least the items should relate. isn't it? You can't have a Chinese sabji and then an Indian rice. It doesn't feel good. So I'll try my best to make things relate. You try to find the relation. So, let's start cooking. I hope you like it. So first we'll see a background of this section. So initially, Jai Shri Radha, Vrindavan Bihari Bhagavan Ki. So first we saw how Daksha had offended Lord Shiva in that sacrifice. He didn't, because Lord Shiva did not respect him. So Daksha said, I'm not going to give you a sacrifice. And then he insulted him. Like that, there was a cold war, a tension between the two parties. But after some time, one day, Sati hears about her father doing a sacrifice. She's inquisitive. She wants to go. And when she goes there, she sees that her husband, Lord Shiva, is insulted. So her father, Daksha, does a sacrifice, but he doesn't offer it to Shiva. So Sati saying, insulting him is as good as insulting me. Feeling so insulted, Sati decides to immolate herself. She gives up her body. Now, from what they say, from batter to bruise, you know, you have hurt the person even more. First, already cold war. Now, something physical has happened. So Lord Shiva hears about this issue. In laughing madness, in rage, he plucks a hair and creates this form of Veerabhadra. And then Veerabhadra goes to the sacrifice of Daksha, devastates the sacrifice, destroys everything, including Daksha himself, cuts off his head, destroys him. And now after the whole, the calm after the storm, well, not before. So now when everything is destroyed, the demigods are in a dilemma. My God, a yagya has started. Everything we brought, the priest we brought so far, so difficult, all the thing is set up. Now this sudden thing has happened. But still we have to continue the sacrifice. So the demigods headed by Brahma goes to Kailash, meets with Lord Shiva to pacify him. Pacifies Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva agrees. Okay, fine. And then now Lord Shiva comes back. And the beginning of this chapter, the seventh chapter, talks about how Lord Shiva revives Daksha. So he brings Daksha back to life as per what Brahma asked for. But he does it partially. In a sense, he gives him a head of a goat. So Shiva does that. He brings him back alive. And then after, when Daksha comes back to life with the head of a goat, Daksha offers prayer to Shiva. And after offering prayers, Daksha said, now I'm ready with his goat head. He does a yagya again. He continues the yagya. Just as he's doing this yagya, Lord Vishnu seated on Garuda appears. And that's where the last section we saw, that all different personalities are offering prayers. Vidyadharas, Brahma, Bhrigu, everyone is offering. So 19 personalities are offering series of prayers that we have seen for the many weeks. Everyone is doing a prayer. Now these two verses that came today are transitional verses. I get the stopgap verses. So these verses are where Maitreya Muni is speaking. Okay, now Lord Vishnu has appeared. All the 19 personalities have offered their prayers. That's all very nice. Now Vishnu is going to speak. So here it's mentioned in text 48. After Lord Vishnu was glorified by all present, Daksha, his consciousness purified, again arranged to begin the yagya, which was destroyed by Shiva's followers. And then Maitreya says that Vishnu is actually the enjoyer of all sacrifices, today's verse. Yet because of being the supersoul of all living beings, he was satisfied simply with his own share. Therefore, he addressed Daksha in a pleasing attitude. So this word comes, Priyamana Iva. Priyamana Iva. So we will read through the purport, line by line, and we'll discuss some points from that. So in text, the earlier text, it is mentioned that Daksha's consciousness was purified after having offered prayers. With all the 19 people, everyone offered prayers to Vishnu. And now Daksha, with purified consciousness, begins the activity. So it's quite interesting that some people say, you know, there's like a saying in some places that, hey, this deity has been worshipped for millions of years. These deities are worshipped for so many people. Therefore, these deities are powerful. Some people seem that because many people worship a deity becomes powerful. And some people say nobody is worshipping the deity becomes less powerful. So it seems as if the deity is dependent on our prayers. But that's not the fact. The deity is the deity. So the deity is pleased when we offer prayers and he reciprocates with us. Prahlad Maharaj, see the connection? Prahlad Maharaj says, Prati Mukasya Yata Mukashri. One offers prayers for one's own well-being. He gives an example. Prati Mukasya, the reflection of your face. Mukashri. So when you decorate your face and you stand in front of a mirror, automatically the reflection is decorated. So in a sense, that when we go in front of the deity and we offer prayers, it is for our own well-being. So here Daksha, his consciousness was purified after having offered prayers. In a sense, we can also see our daily activities. Right? Early morning, we wake up, we do prayers to the Lord, to Guru, then we do our chanting, then we begin our daily activities. Even the pujaris, they may not be able to complete their chanting, but still, they do their daily activities after having offered so many different manasa puja, different prayers. So prayers help us to go about our day, help us to set the mood, and it's actually for our own well-being that we pray to the deity. Why a deity may seem to be powerful, reciprocal? Because the personality is happy. If Krishna is happy, having been gotten so many prayers, naturally he'll reciprocate with the devotee. But we understand that the prayers are for our own benefit. So coming to today's verse purport, we will read and we'll discuss a bit. Prabhupada states in the purport, in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, it is said, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. Lord Vishnu or Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of all results of sacrifices, austerities and penance. In whatever one may engage, the ultimate goal is Vishnu. If a person does not know that, then he is misled. So this section Prabhupada is saying, how the Lord is the owner and master of everything. Lord is Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. Here Yajna is going on. And he is the Bhokta, as it's mentioned in this verse also. Sarvatma. He is the master in everyone's heart. Sarvatma, Sarva Bhaga Bhuk. Bhagam, no, Bhag. Bhag means each portion. So Sarva Bhaga Bhuk, he is the one who's supposed to enjoy everyone's portion. But what's the problem here? Svena Bhagena, he only accepts his share. So that's an amazing quality of the Lord. When everything belongs to you, for example, one whole Rajbhog plate comes to you, it's yours. Right? Because we cannot eat, that's why we distribute. If we can eat, we will finish it. It's my share. Isn't it? Very difficult to distribute. No? They give everyone one samosa. Someone never gets. Do you eat faster? Who will distribute? If you get 5-10 samosa, then maybe one you might give. But here the Lord, who has everything, still he is satisfied in his own share. Svena bhagena. I am happy in my own bhagam. I am happy in my own portion. So Prabhupada first states in this purport that, hey, the Lord is Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. He is actual master of everything. Then Prabhupada continues, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, has nothing to demand from anyone. He is self-satisfied, self-sufficient, but he still accepts the offerings of Yajna because of his friendly attitude towards all living entities. So here Sarvatma comes. So if a person is all satisfied, you have a big Rajbhog plate in front of you from Vrindavan Bihari, and someone now comes, here's the Rajbhog plate for Madan Mohan. Item to same hai. Bati hai extra, chalo. So you feel, you know, I have everything. Why should I accept extra? I'm already full. If a person is already full, you eat nicely. Someone comes and says, Prabhuji, please take one more puri. For example, I don't know why. Someone puri, right? Oh, amras, they say, no. TK. You may honor the person because of friendly attitude. You may say, chalo, I will take one piece, one extra piece. Why? It's not that I'm hungry. It's not that I can eat also. It is just because friendly attitude. So this is the mood of the Lord. The Lord is full. Full, satisfied, doesn't need anything more. When the devotee comes with half, something small, Lord says, TK, chalo. He accepts. Why? Prabhupada says, friendly attitude. Toward all living entities. Sarvatma. When his share of the sacrificial results was offered to him, he appeared very pleased. TK, thank you very much. Then Prabhupada says, it is said in Bhagavad Gita 9.26, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati.
If any devotee offers to him even a small leaf, flower, water, if it is offered with love and affection, the Lord accepts it and is pleased. Prabhupada writes like this. So Prabhupada connects from Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasham to Patram Pushpam. Now the Supreme Lord who owns everything, who is a master of everything, he is so satisfied, he is happy with what he has. Out of a friendly attitude, he accepts what we all have to offer to him. More than that, in Bhagavad Gita, he has declared, "Okay, if you want to offer something, a little fruit, a little flower." How magnanimous is his personality? Who has everything, still he says, "I'll accept something." So the Lord has very little expectation. Chalo, little flower, a little fruit. More than that, what I expect? Love. Bhaktya, I want devotion. So he says that, TK, I have everything, Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasham, I have everything, but if you still want to give something, then you can give the following items. Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Like that. Then Prabhupada continues the purport. He says, although the Lord is self-sufficient and he does not need anything, he still accepts such offering because as the super soul, he has such a friendly attitude towards all living entity. Again, Prabhupada repeats. Having said that the Lord is the master of everything and he accepts because of a friendly attitude, then Prabhupada says that, yeah, but he accepts, he expects very little. Then again, Prabhupada repeats. As the super soul, as the Sarvatma, he accepts because of friendly attitude. Again, friendly attitude to all living beings. So, for a personality like Srila Prabhupada, that at advanced age, in the lates of nights, to translate the book, Asaneki, he, you know, forgot what he wrote, and he again repeated. It might happen to us. But, at, you know, especially 4th Canto, 73-74, at the end of 73, Prabhupada is writing these books. Movement has grown. Why would he waste ink or type to repeat again the same thing? If not, for emphasizing this point, that the Lord does not need us as much as we need him. He needs us in the sense that he wants our love. If we have that love, then he's greedy for us. But for the general mass of public, Lord is there. We need the Lord more. So still he reciprocates because this is his friendly attitude. This is the nature of the Lord. The purport, Prabhupada continue. Prabhupada says, another point here. So Prabhupada gives a point. First point is friendly attitude. Second point, Prabhupada says, another point here is that he does not encroach upon another's share. So Prabhupada says this lesson from Svena Bhagena and Sarvatma. Prabhupada is taking these two lessons. One, the Lord is friendly attitude, he's reciprocating. Two, he says that the Lord does not encroach on another's share. Prabhupada says, in the Yajna, there is a share for the demigods, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and a share for Vishnu. He is satisfied with his own share, Svena Bhagena. He does not encroach upon others. Indirectly, Prabhupada says, he is indicating that he is not very satisfied with Daksha, trying to deny Lord Shiva his share. So he says, itna, ye mere liye na? Haan, chike, chalo. He took. So Prabhupada is saying that one point is that Vishnu is satisfied, he doesn't encroach. Second point is also that indirectly, he's saying, I'll take this much only. He's not very eager with what Daksha has to offer. Okay, so we'll discuss this as we go on. First, we see how the Lord does not encroach on another person's share. So the Lord himself said in his Upanishad, Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatam jagat. Whatever little kincha jagatam jagat. Tena, tyaktena bunjita, what is left aside, tyaktena, what is left as shesha, what is left as baki, that much only bunjita, that much only you enjoy. In everything that is big and small in this world, the Lord is the controller of everything, he owns everything, yet he has set aside for you. So Krishna in his Upanishad is telling us that you should accept your quota. But here he himself is only accepting his quota. So the Lord walks his talk. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. He only accepts his quota. Then the second point is Prabhupada says that he is not very satisfied with Daksha. So this is an interesting point. So we also understand that as Daksha's, charitra, as Daksha's background, portfolio, Daksha has committed many offenses, and later in future cantos, he will also commit more offenses. Yet in many places across Bhagavatam, we'll see how Vishnu would appear, shake hands with Daksha, or just smile at Daksha. Still, Daksha is the Prajapati. So actually, the Lord is not very pleased with Daksha. So although Daksha is his own people, person, his own man, you can say, and although Vishnu engages Daksha as Prajapati in his creation, but he's still not pleased with his attitude and his character, especially in his way he deals. He disrespects Shiva, later will come to Narada Muni. So we learn a lesson from this. Actually, we have to be very careful, because we can be in the position of Daksha. An authority, a superior, a senior, guru, they may engage us, we may be part of his team, we may be part of his man, I am his man, we may be part of his team, he may engage us also, we may do many things, but in heart of hearts, that authority, that superior, or that guru may not be very pleased with us, in the sense that if we do not deal properly, so we could be like Daksha. Some person might not think, hey, see, he calls me for service, he always calls me, he must like me. No, Baba, he might just want to get the service done. So people in general like expert people. In general. Why? Expert people means get the things done. Usko bol denge to fir, chakachak, he'll get it done. So people, authorities, generally they like expert people. But, but in heart, people love people with etiquette. So they will love, they'll have deep relationship with someone who has more etiquette. And someone who's an expert person, they may engage him. Right, but just, so we should not be foolish. We should not be fooled to think that I'm engaged, I'm serving, therefore I'm protected. I'm expert. I can do any way I like. He is calling me personally. That means I am protected. Not necessarily. You may get the job done, and if you do not deal well, it may not be the next. So you look at Daksha's case. Daksha is a Prajapati, officiate in the administration of Vishnu. He holds a good position. Vishnu takes care of him, sees him and all. But it's mentioned Vishnu is not very pleased with his conduct. So, it's said Vishnu smiles to him also. So sometimes the senior may smile to us, talk to us, but he may not be very pleased. So personally, we should be very careful with our conduct. No matter how much we do, it doesn't really matter. The quantity. It's more important how we do things in. Because after a few years in devotional life, we have all experienced seeing expert people. Seeing people who can do in magnitude. It's wonderful. It's appreciable. It's needed. How will the movement expand? But while doing these things, we should also remember that more important than magnitude, more important than how expert we do things or how much we do things is how we are doing the things. Simple example. If someone asks you to bring some, I can only think of prasad. Bring some prasad to serve. Condition. So bring some prasad to serve. And you say, hey, he has asked me to bring prasad to serve. Chalo, chalo. And you walk in the room and you may push other devotees aside and put the thing down and serve him first. In a very non-congenial manner. You got the job done. That person is happy with you. You brought the serving. But the other devotees standing at the side, they may feel, kya yaar? They may not be happy. So end of the day, if you have to write your report card, you have stated that I have done so and so mission nicely. Perfectly executed. Perfectly executed. But we should be careful we don't get executed. You know another execution? That in our dealings. So you say that, to hell with them. I have pleased my superior. Okay. But what about the other devotees? Don't they matter? So Daksha was that Vishnu seemingly was happy with him. He's a Prajapati. He will continue to do his Prajapati duties, by the way. But at heart of hearts, this person is not a very in conduct. So, because later he'll offend Narada Muni. So, Vishnu kept him at a side. Still, he engaged him. That is the mercy of Lord Vishnu. So, a lesson that we can learn from this line
That he was not very satisfied with Daksha, Vishnu not being satisfied with Daksha, that we are also engaged, we are also acting, we are also being given some service by an authority. And as much as we are eager to get the service done and please the authority, we should also be very careful with the way we execute the service, that others should not become disturbed. So, one more point that comes to mind in reading this purport is how the Lord is so satisfied. He takes his share, right? And he's not bothered about anything else, so satisfied. He just takes his Svena Bhagena. Like I said, a big Rajbhog plate comes and you said, let all devotee takes, let me just take white rice. And I'm satisfied with it. Who was that? Some Brahmacharis I remember in Chaupati. Forgot who. So when the Mahaprasad tray comes, he says, only white rice. Because he loves white rice. It's not like he's so tyagi, but he loves white rice. And he takes only white rice. So he says, white rice. Only take his share. But people glorify him. Yaar, baki sab chod diya, samosa, samosa sab. Right, white rice he lenge. But he likes because he know got ghee inside. So, satisfaction is a wonderful principle. They say how the Lord is so satisfied. He's Atmaram. Correct? So this reminds us of a verse that in the fifth canto, Prahlad Maharaj speaks. So, Prahlad Maharaj prays to Narasingadev in the seventh canto. A small glimpse of the essence of the mood of Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto, we can see in the fifth canto. In the prayers of the residents of Jambudvip, Harivarsha comes. In Harivarsha, the descendants or the denizens pray to Lord Narasimhadev, led by Prahlad Maharaj. So the essence, the mood is the same. So Prahlad Maharaj first invokes Lord Narasimhadev. Connection. So he prays, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jatejase Avir Avir Bhava Vajranakha Vajradamstra Karma Shayan Randaya Randaya Tamugrasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuyishta Om Shrom. So after having invoked Narasimhadev, he prays, Swasti yastu vishvashakala prasidatam dhyayantu bhutani shivam mitodiya manascha badram bhajatada dokshaje aveshatam no matirapiya hetuki. After having invoked the Lord, he says, Swasti astu vishvasha kala prasidatam. Let all the envious people in this world become pacified. Shantraho, shantraho. He says like that. After invoking the Lord has appeared, Prahlad turns to everyone, he said, let all the people be satisfied. Prabhupada writes in the word to word, what is kalaha? He says envious, bracket, almost everyone. Prabhupada gives a purport in the word to word. He says, someone may read, all these people should be satisfied. We reading Bhagavadam, we may say, swasti astu, vishwasa, vishwasa kala. Kala lok sab satisfied hona chahe. Right? Prabhupada writes, almost everyone. 99%. Everyone is envious. That's why we are here. So let everyone be pacified. How? How to be satisfied? Sasti astu. How to be satisfied? So he says that if they are satisfied, dhyayantu bhutani shivam mito diya. Their intelligence can be used to dhyayantu, to actually consider about the shivam, the welfare, the auspiciousness of bhutani, of all living beings. So a person who is satisfied, he can actually start to think about the welfare of others. Dhyayantu bhutani shivam mito diya. Mito means each other. You can actually start to think about the welfare of others, each other, only if you are satisfied. How important is quality of satisfaction? Satisfaction, if it's there, then only one can think about the welfare of others. But someone may ask, Are baapre, kitne log ke baare mein sochna padega? If you say by satisfied you'll think about others, I think by thinking about others I'll become not satisfied. Kitne log ka problem ke baare mein sochna padega? Kitne log ke lives ke baare mein sochna padega? I think I'll become asantushta. Where is the santushtam? No. Manascha badram bhajatada doksaje.
If you think about others, your mind will not become disturbed. Your mind will become bhadram. You'll become calm. Kya baat hai? Generally, when you start thinking about others, people say, jane do yaar, jeevan sartak kori. Para upakar later, jeevan sartak kori. How can I think about others and become peaceful? This person, that problem, this person, this family problem, this person, this one problem, that boy, this problem, this cannot study, this person, that devotee, chanting cannot finish. My God, I also have so much problem. How can I take the problem of others? Dhyayantu bhutani shivam mito dhyah. One can actually think if one is satisfied. Don't worry, manascha badram, mind will become calm. Why? What is the main root? Bhajatat adokshaje. If one is actually engaged in worshipping Krishna, in bhakti, then mind will become calm. Even though he's thinking about the welfare of others, even though he's thinking about the welfare of the entire universe, mind will become calm. So we see from the character of great souls, so many great souls like Srila Prabhupada, his great disciples who have come, done so much, at the time of leaving, kuch iccha nahi. Prabhupada started a movement in Russia in one day, passed the seed on and moved on. You don't see at the time of end, he's actually worrying, oh, you know, what will happen to the Russian devotees? Please, you know, I just started, will they pick it up? So much bhajatad adokshaje, Lord is there. So, although he thinks about the entire world, mind is always calm, focused. Manascha bhadram bhajatad adokshaje. So then Prahlad Maharaj says, he says, therefore, aveshatam, let us all, aveshatam, let us all absorb our mati. Aveshatam no matir api ahaituki. If we all absorbed our mind in devotional service, ahaituki, without motive, then our minds will become bhadram, calm. If we have, say, Prabhu, I'm doing bhakti also, but my mind is disturbed, think again. Do we have some hetu? If he says that we absorb our mind in bhajatat adokshaje without any hetu, then mind becomes calm. Then one can think about others. In such a way, one will always be satisfied. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita also says, Nasti buddhira yuktasya na cha yuktasya bhavana Nacha bhavayata shantir ashantasya kutah sukam. He says that if one is not engaged in Krishna consciousness, forget about having intelligence. Na asti buddhir. They cannot be buddhir. They cannot have intelligence. Nor they can have bhavana. Bhavana here is translated as steady mind. There will be no intelligence. His mind will be not steady. And where can they be shantir? Where they can be peace? And for such a person who is not peaceful, how can there be sukham? So Prahlad Maharaj is saying the same thing, that if we do not engage in Krishna consciousness bhakti without any hetu, how can the mind be peaceful? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, na asti buddhir ayuktasya, for one's mind is not engaged, he cannot have proper devotional intelligence. He will not be peaceful, na bhavana. And without that, where can there be shanti? Ashantasya kutah sukham. So everyone is running after sukham. But ashantasya, without happiness, without peace, where can there be happiness? So the importance of satisfaction is mentioned in many places throughout Bhagavadam. We will just see two other places. So one is Vamandev section. This is a very famous section. When Bali Maharaj comes and Vamandev, he offers his, he says his proposal. Mereko itna itna chahiye. So when Bali Maharaj sees the proposal, he's like, yeah, reject proposal. Say, why? Are Baba, ask something for which you will never have to ask again. Why you ask this small chit? Write one whole letter and give me what you want. I'll give you everything. Then he says a beautiful verse. He says, Yadrichayopapannena santushto vartate sukam. Yadrichayopapannena. Whatever that has to come on its own accord, that you accept. Yadrichaya. Accept that which is has to come on, which comes on by destiny. Such a way, santushto vartate sukham. By this principle of satisfaction, one's happiness increases. Santushta vartate sukham. Then he says, Why?
Na asantushtat tribir loke ajitatmo pasaditehi.
For a person who's ajitatma, who has never conquered his senses, upasadite, even if he gains tribir loke,
for a person who's not sense control, even if he gets the three worlds, he will always be dissatisfied.
So Prahlad tells to, Vamandev tells to Bali, if I cannot be satisfied with these three paces of land, then I cannot be satisfied even if you give me 300 acres of land. Correct? If I cannot be satisfied with this small thing, you think I'll become satisfied with the big thing? Not possible. Main thing is senses has to be controlled. But satisfaction will increase happiness. So satisfaction is a big principle.
Narad Muni gives an analogy in 7th canto. He says, a person who is satisfied is like a person wearing shoes.
A person who is satisfied is like a person wearing shoes. Why? For such a person, sarva shivamaya disha. He sees auspiciousness in every direction. We can experience Jai Sri Sri Radha, Vrindavan Bihari, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. We have this experience in Jeevi. If you leave your slippers and you walk barefooted, when the paver road is made, it's very nice. But before that, when you have to walk on the pebbles, what do you call that, stones, then it becomes a little difficult. Now all this road is made nice. Sarva shivomayo disha. All disha, all direction is shivamaya, all auspicious. No problem, can walk anywhere. But suddenly when you have to walk off the road barefoot with all the pebbles and stones and this and that, then it becomes difficult. So he says, a person who is satisfied is like a man wearing shoes. He says, sada santushta manasa. For a person whose mind is always santushtam, he's always satisfied. Sarvaha shivamayo disha. He sees auspiciousness in all directions. Koi dikkat nahi hai, kuch tension nahi hai. Example, sharkara kantaka dibhyo yato panat padashivam. Just as a person who upanat padam, who's wearing a shoe, he does not see rocks, he does not see thorns, he does not see his bindas. If you did Govardhan Parikram, barefooted, sometimes there's an anxiety. If you take some shortcut inside, there's a lot of these thorns that come. Right? Big, big, long, long thorns. Poke your leg. But maybe one day you decide that I'll do Parikram with my shoes or slippers because I'm not feeling very good. That time you can do very fast. Kuch socha bhi nahi, kidhar kya hai. Tap, 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 you'll walk. Correct? Sarva shivamayo disha. So for a person who santushta manasa, sada, not once or twice, sada, santushta manasa, he moves through life, he walks through life, he paces through life easily, seeing auspiciousness in all directions. He's not worried, he's not disturbed, he's not perturbed with what may be stones, what may be thorns that comes in life. So Narad Muni gives this analogy like that. So we will just read the last section of this purport and then we will end with some discussion. So Prabhupada continues the purport. He says, Maitreya here addressed Vidura as anaga, as sinless, because Vidura was a pure Vaishnava and never committed any offense to any demigod. Like Daksha. Daksha committed offense to Shiva. So Vidura is anaga, sinless, because he never commit offense. Although Vaishnavas accept Vishnu as the supreme, they are not prone to offend demigods, Prabhupada writes. In fact, they give proper respect to demigods. Vaishnavas accept Lord Shiva as the best Vaishnava. For a Vaishnava, there is no possibility of offending any demigods. The demigods are also pleased with the Vaishnava because they are faultless devotees of Vishnu. So this last section discusses something, a different topic. The Prabhupada is writing that why is Lord Shiva, why is Maitreya addressing Vidura as anaga? Because he's a Vaishnav, he won't offend demigods like this Daksha. So Prabhupada gives a lesson that demigods are always pleased with Vaishnavas, and Vaishnavas are always, because Vaishnavas are always respectful to demigods. So this comes a discussion. Demigods are always pleased with Vaishnavas? It makes us remember one section in the first canto when Parikshit Maharaj was leaving his body. That time all the demigods showered flowers and they played on drums. Dum, 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 dum. There Prabhupada writes in the purport that, why the demigods are showering flowers and playing drums? Because the demigods are very happy. Just see, this Vaishnava is now going to Vaikuntha. They are so happy with him, they are showering flowers. Prabhupada writes, the demigods take pleasure in seeing someone go back to Godhead. The demigod takes pleasure in seeing someone go back to Godhead. They are always pleased with the devotee of the Lord, so much so that by their adi daivik powers, they help the devotee in all respects.
Very interesting. Demigods are pleased with the devotees because their aim is towards back home, back to Godhead. And with their adi daivik powers, they help the devotee. By their actions of helping the devotee, the Lord is pleased with them. So, Prabhupada writes, beautiful line. There is an invisible chain of complete cooperation between the Lord, demigods and devotees. There is an invisible chain of complete cooperation between the Lord, demigods and devotees. Beautiful. But for those who have read Bhagavatam earlier in the fourth canto, they may be thinking, hey, Dhruva Maharaj did not feel like that. Dhruva blamed the demigods, isn't it? We are there. So Vidyapit students may be thinking. But Dhruva also said like that. When his mind got disturbed, he said, these demigods, they are the ones who are troubling my mind. Isli, I could not remember Narada's, these demigods are envious of me. He said like that. So, in the 11th canto it comes. You all studied recently. 11th canto in 28th chapter, it comes a translation. Prabhupada writes, sometimes the demigods do disturb a sadhaka's path. When? Sometimes the progress of an imperfect transcendentalist is checked. How? By either attachment to family, attachment to disciples, or attachment to others. These are all sent by envious demigods for that purpose. But on the strength of their accumulated advancement, such an imperfect transcendentalist will resume his practice of yoga in the next life. They will never be again trapped in the network of fruitive work. So here, why is the envious demigod suddenly, you know, giving him some parishani? Why is he giving him some problem? So the simple understanding is that if the devotee, the sadhaka, has his eyes, has his goal towards Vaikuntha, demigods have no issue. Towards back home, back to Godhead, demigods have no issue. Jao Baba, jao. But if out of some motive, out of some material desire, then where is he going to end up? Prabhupada says, be careful. If you have material desire, you will end up in the heavenly planets. So, you know, Surya, Chandra, they are sitting and pop, you come beside them. Hey, Baba, tu kahan se aaye? They don't want that. They don't want competition. So, we should be careful, Prabhupada says, that is while execution of bhakti, because it's so supreme, that if some desires come within our heart, then we might end up beside Indra. For that reason, Indra understanding that our bhakti, our daily practice, has some hetu, then there will always be disturbances in our life by the demigods. So, else for a devotee, living in this world and passing through this world is very easy if one doesn't have hetu in his practice of bhakti. With that, we see the example of Jayanand Thakur. Okay, samajh gaya na link? With that, we see the greatness of Jayanand Thakur. So, he's a very wonderful personality actually. I was just reading letters, what Prabhupada writes about him and what the exchanges. So in 1967, simple person, he was Jayanand Das Brahmachari. And so much affection for what Prabhupada was doing. Now movement began, registered 1965, initialized in 1967, expanded first to the West Coast in 1967. So, initial years, nothing much grown, only two centers. But Jayanand Thakur gave 5,000, what is that? USD, it was my rupees. 5,000 USD to Prabhupada as a donation. 5,000 in 1967, big amount. For the next 5 years, in so many lectures, Prabhupada is talking about it. My one disciple Jayanand Das, he gave me 5,000. He and Brahmanand, both each gave me 5,000. Brahmanand came from a rich family. Jayanand did not so. So whatever he worked, but he felt so touched with what Prabhupada is doing, he just gave $5,000 as a donation. Prabhupada is amazed.
Later, when Prabhupada wrote, before he completed Bhagavatam, of course, later Prabhupada wrote Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Samri Study. So he gave to Jayanand Thakur. He told him, and Jayanand Thakur relished it. He said, he tried to distribute it. He said, Prabhupada, no, he wanted to distribute Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. But he always said, I'm not very successful. No one takes this book. Then when Prabhupada completed NOD, Nectar of Devotion, so Prabhupada wrote there that I'm very grateful, I'm very happy to have completed NOD. Not in NOD, Prabhupada wrote somewhere else. Having completed NOD, he says, especially I want to extend my gratitude to Jayanand Das Thakur, Jayanand Das Brahmachari, because of his donation. So his donation helped Prabhupada to push on the movement. Prabhupada wrote to disciples, my one disciple, Jayanand Das, has given me $5,000. Brahmandan has also given me $5,000. With both this money, I want to print books, especially in India. The printing cost is a bit cheaper. So Prabhupada was thinking, they're helping me to print books. So Prabhupada was so grateful to him. Prabhupada once said, see our Jayanand, he looks like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So tall, so strong, so stout. He looks just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Soon later, Jayanand Thakur was made temple president in San Francisco. Prabhupada was very happy. Some years later, in 1968, Prabhupada was considering many people for sannyas. He was also considered. But in one place, Prabhupada wrote, I think let not Jayanand Thakur take sannyas now, Jayanand Brahmachari take sannyas now. Let him wait some more. Couple of years later, he gets married. Jayanand Thakur, he gets married. He comes to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada says, oh, Jayanand, I heard now you are married. So now you must give me double. When you were single, you gave me $5,000 donation. Now you are double. So you should give me double. Like that, Prabhupada joked with him. And he also just laughed and went. And later in 1976, when the Rath Yatra began here and there, so Tamal Krishna Maharaj was a witness, so many different senior disciples of Prabhupada. Prabhupada himself was a witness how hard Jayanand Thakur worked. One devotee, Rameshwar, was saying, Rameshwar Prabhu at the time, so he was saying that, hey, this Jayanand has not slept for 5 days. He has not slept properly for 5 days. He's working so hard. So Prabhupada will go to him, see the cart. He was so impressed. The wheels are magnificent. The cart is magnificent. So Jayanand Thakur's main service was building the Rath Yatra carts, proper Rath Yatra carts. Because we read in Prabhupada Lilamrit, the first Rath Yatra that went with Jagannath Balaji Subhatra was on the back of a flatbed truck. Flatbed truck. Modify kya, flatbed. Like we also had initially also, na? Flatbed truck. Now also, no. Flatbed truck modified. Like that. So that was the first Rath Yatra. But Prabhupada wanted a proper Rath. So Jayanand Thakur did that. And Prabhupada was so grateful, he told, Jayanand, you have fulfilled my dream. Jayanand, you have fulfilled my dream. So in 1977, in February, his disease was known to devotees, his cancer. And he became very sick. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, they were discussing something, he mentioned to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, oh. Some months later, of course, February, he got very sick. And May, today is the Tithi. So in May, he left his body. A couple of months in between. In that month, towards the months of his departure, he again gave Prabhupada a very huge sum of donation. And Prabhupada is very touched. He wrote him a personal letter. I'm in receipt of your donation, but I'm thinking, why don't you use it for your treatment? However, you see, what is your desire? I pray for your well-being that you'll get back. You'll be in better health. Prabhupada writes like that. In May 1977, Jayanand Thakur leaves his body. News comes to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada says, oh, just see how glorious he is. Jayanand Thakur has a glorious death. He has gone back to Vaikuntha. Prabhupada says, every devotee should be like Jayanand Thakur. Everyone should be exactly like how he was, in his mood of his service, in the mood of his dealings as well. So, like that, Prabhupada says, everyone should be like him. So with that, I would like to end the class. So just a summary. We were reading Prabhupada's purport and we discussed many points. So first, Prabhupada discusses about how the Lord is the master of everything, yet he only takes what his share is because he accepts out of friendly attitude. So in this sense, we see how the Lord is satisfied. we discuss the importance of satisfaction from different places in Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, that by satisfaction, one's happiness increase. Prahlad Maharaj says that if you're satisfied, you can think of others, but only if you engage in bhakti, without any hetu. Then we saw how the Daksha, Vishnu was not very pleased with Daksha, in fact. So we learn a lesson that we should also be careful in our activities. We may do something expertly, but we should be careful to do it properly. Then we saw how Maitreya addressed Vidura as sinless because he was not an offender to demigods. We heard from Prabhupada's words in the first canto where Prabhupada says, there is an invisible chain of cooperation between the Lord, demigods and devotees. How everyone should respect each other. Then with that, the demigods also help the devotee in their progress. If the devotee is Ahetuki. So in that we saw the life of Jayanand Thakur. So with this we'd like to end. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavadam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Jayanand Thakur ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande.